Thanks for checking out Podcasts on the Gin. The latest episode of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn starts now.
A Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Rob Howe sitting in once again. And plenty going on today. Did you and I's NCAA tournament chances go up in smoke in the city of St. Louis on a Friday? Certainly looks like it, but we will discuss. 319-366-1600. Plenty of Big Ten discussion inside the big hour as there are still about a bajillion scenarios of how the bracket will look for Indianapolis coming up next week. And one game to play for each team and still all kinds of things that can happen. But the Illinois Fighting Illini fall on the road after a good first half, but Ohio State comes back and wins in Columbus last night to force, let's just say, a very high-stakes game on Sunday in Champaign. Hawkeye fans, can Iowa go into Champaign and pull out a victory? 319-366-1600. Rob, what's up?
Oh, there's more traffic today coming up earlier.
Really?
Than the normal time I come up for the big hour.
Well, yeah, weird. That's true. Everybody getting off work a little bit early on a Friday.
I think people are ducking out early. Based on the traffic coming up here today from Iowa City.
Drake fans making their way down the highway of the Saints to go see.
You're putting salt in the wound.
No. I want to see more teams like you and I get in the tournament. I would love to see them get in. I would love to see the committee stop rewarding mediocrity. A team like Purdue should not be in the discussion to get in the NCAA tournament, in my opinion.
I agree with you, but...
But that's not the reality of the situation.
No, the system's rigged against the mid-major, low-major. It wants... The NCAA wants... They would rather have Purdue and Dayton... You know, as a marquee name, a Big Ten team in Dayton or in the first round on Thursday or Friday, rather than have you and I.
It's pretty much that simple. Now, Joe Lunardi, the bracketologist for ESPN, as I mentioned, has chimed in on the situation. As of right now, he does his last four in. He has you and I as the last team in the field. Now, here's the problem, Rob. I've seen this movie before.
Here's an interesting thing, not to interrupt. But
no, go ahead.
The old system was RPI.
Yes.
Northern Iowa is 18 in the RPI. But then the NCAA says, hey, we're going to come up with this net ranking and use that instead of the RPI. And now we're going to weight it even more towards the high majors.
Yeah, because it's like...
Breaking the games into quads.
That's basically just gerrymandering, is it not?
Yeah, it's rigging it for the high majors.
So that's what the net rankings have done. They've taken the number of... They've taken the... Basically, instead of quality of wins, it's quantity of quality wins, right?
Right.
So even if a UNI wins that game against West Virginia... In that preseason tournament, even if they don't drop a game to Illinois State at the beginning of the season, we're probably still having this discussion.
Because UNI is 36 in the net rankings. So 18 spots lower in net than RPI. And that tells you all you need to know about the system and the NCAA wanting... Would rather have a high major than a mid-major.
How can we fix this? 319-366-1600. First of all, Nick in Cedar Rapids tweeted me earlier today, big Drake fan, and is always not complaining. He's not complaining. He does it in a very nice way. Just, hey, can we talk about Drake? Awesome win.
And they've got a shot.
Incredible win. And this whole thing and the whole thing in St. Louis this weekend is just all bets are off.
Drake has a chip and a chance. They're in. They're still in the game.
And you and I had to play an 8 seed who had 19 wins on the season, and they'd beaten twice this season. But a great effort by Drake. They hit a bunch of shots in the first half. You and I completely went dormant in the second half offensively, and They did not have a good performance. There's no question about that. But should mid-majors go to the way that the Ivy League did it for years without the conference tournament?
Then you're robbing Peter to pay Paul. You're taking, you know, the money that you make at a conference tournament that goes into the conference pool and sending one team to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, but
guaranteed it's the best team.
It's the best team. That's proven it throughout the season.
But then you're taking money out of the pocket.
You're taking money out of the pocket.
Money is what drives the train. So
see, I feel like this always comes up because this comes up in Major League Baseball, in the NBA. Well, obviously in those two sports, the season should be shorter. Shouldn't be playing 162 baseball games. Shouldn't be playing 82 hockey or basketball games. But that's the elephant in the room that the owners don't want to address and the commissioners don't want to address.
They want 17 games in football. Let's play more.
Because the money.
Right.
And that's the thing right now with the mid-majors. They, especially in the mid-major level, they're probably relying very heavily on conference tournaments for revenue,
for
especially
sure.
the MVC.
Yeah.
The tradition that they've built with Arch Madness and the brand of having that tournament in St. Louis, that's one of their biggest, that's their biggest event of the year.
And it's, I mean, it's not a mystery. It's not the conference it used to be when it had Wichita State and Creighton. That hurt the conference when those schools left.
It absolutely did.
And now you're fighting for one bid and you can play 4 months of good basketball, have a bad day, and you're done, and that's a shame. But again, like Nick said, there's still a team in the state that's got a chance to win this thing,
true.
And that's really good. And I'm happy for Coach DeVries and Drake
it's
and Matt Gatens, who we had on the show last week. I mean, he's done a nice job with that program.
319-366-1600. We'll circle back around to this, but Iowa-Illinois on Sunday. Do the Iowa Hawkeyes have a chance? 1156 says, love the Hawks, but I would put my money on Illinois. Both teams will be ultra-motivated, both well-coached, but Wieskamp is not back yet, and Illinois has a big edge in athletic ability. Trent Frazier for Illinois, also in one of the biggest shooting slumps of his career. Two guys being relied on very heavily so far this season for both teams in the biggest slumps of their careers. And you just wonder if either of them are going to be able to snap out of it. But 319-366-1600, our first caller of the day, Jim in Kyoto, wants to talk Iowa basketball. Jim, what's up?
Well, you guys kind of stole my thought there, but these conference tournaments are just a big old money grab. I was going to say if you make the regular season champion, the automatic berth, but that forces out the barn 40 years ago. But I think you and I is going to be on the wrong side of the bubble. But
I agree.
Hawks, can they win? Yes. I mean, it's a better – I just think Purdue's a bad matchup, but I also think as bad as we played against Purdue, not we, I'm not on the team, but I think they'll bounce back and give a good effort. But it's going to be tough after that game at Carver against Illinois. They're going to be hunting for bear, too. I just don't want to fall below the sixth seed in the Big Ten tournament.
Thanks for the phone call, Jim. Your thoughts on the First Federal Credit Union text line as well as the phone line. You can follow him as well. You're welcome, Nick. The Drake Bulldogs talk of the day. Oh, if they go to the NCAA tournament, we'll talk plenty of Drake basketball.
And Liam Robbins got robbed. He should have been first team all conference, in my opinion. But there's another little nugget.
Very
for,
interesting. Over for Austin Fife?
Somebody on
over
there.
Cameron Crutwig? Interesting. It's a very good player, and
we're going to do our Big Ten teams later.
Yeah, all of them. What are we going to do? As Wiggy in Iowa City says, Wieskamp catches fire, 25-plus Hawks win.
I tweeted Wieskamp's numbers against Illinois today.
They're pretty good, aren't they?
Yes. And also, we can do this bracket thing, too. I just pulled up if Iowa wins and if Iowa loses, we've got the bracket.
Okay, here's...
You want Wieskamp's numbers first?
Yeah, let's go to Wieskamp's. You look up Wieskamp's numbers, and while you're doing that, I'm going to explain that Rob has found a bracket simulator that, based on the results of every team's final game of the season, he will be able to tell us what the Big Ten bracket will look like in Indianapolis next week.
And there are a lot of different scenarios, but we're going to do this exercise based on if the rest of the games this weekend go chalk, and then Iowa win, Iowa loss.
Let's do that.
Those two scenarios. But first, we'll go to the Wieskamp career versus Illinois. Three games last year at home. 24 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 8 for 8 from the field, 6 of 6 from 3-point range. Big Ten tournament in Chicago last March, 5 for 7 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3, 2 for 2 from the foul line, 13 points, team high, 7 rebounds. He was plus 18 in that game. Then earlier this season, last month in Iowa City, 6 of 11 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3, 5 of 7 from the line, 18.6 rebounds, a plus 13. So if you're looking for a silver lining or optimism for Sunday's game, there it is. Joe Wieskamp to break out of his offensive funk.
What is your prediction for Sunday's game? 319-366-1600. Okay, so this...
You want to start with Iowa winning or Iowa losing?
Well, let's just start with Iowa winning.
Okay.
Okay? We will start with Iowa winning. And I'm looking at the slate for this weekend. We have Wisconsin taking on Indiana in Bloomington. So what is chalk here? Is that a Wisconsin win or is that an Indiana win?
Let me pop this up again.
Because this is interesting.
The simulator has Indiana winning.
Okay, they need a victory. Wisconsin's hot, but Indiana's the home team, so they have Wisconsin winning. So I would assume they have Purdue beating Rutgers as well.
Have Purdue beating Rutgers. They have Maryland beating Michigan at home. Minnesota beating Nebraska, which, man, if Minnesota loses that, maybe they should just fire Pitino after the game. And then Michigan State beating Ohio State at home.
And then, of course, Penn State beating Northwestern.
Penn State beating Northwestern, okay. Yeah.
So if that scenario holds true and Iowa beats Illinois, what are we looking at?
Iowa would be the 4 seed.
Okay, so they get the double bye.
They would get the double bye, and Illinois would drop to the 6. You would have Michigan State as the 1, Maryland as the 2, Wisconsin as the 3, and Iowa as the 4. Iowa would play the 5 seed in that scenario is Penn State. So Penn State would play the winner of Northwestern and Minnesota. And then the winner of Northwestern Minnesota against Penn State would play Iowa in that quarterfinal game on Friday.
So before we say anything else, this is a dream scenario right now for Iowa.
Oh, yeah.
This is a scenario where Iowa is looking at Sunday's game and saying, we want that. I think they feel they match up very well with Penn State. They nearly beat them twice. They nearly beat them on the road without C.J. Frederick in the second half.
Yep.
They would avoid Purdue. They would avoid the first 2 days of the tournament, go straight to the quarterfinals, and for the most part, more than likely, play Penn State. I think they would sign up for that right now if they could.
So if you look at this bracket, Alex, and go chalk, this would be your Friday games. Purdue and Michigan are the 8-9,
uh-huh.
And the winner of that would play Michigan State, the number one seed at the top of the bracket. So let's, for argument's sake, say it's Michigan, Michigan State, a little juicy. That's a juicy matchup, the Michigan schools playing on Friday, followed by Penn State and Iowa. Then you would have Ohio State and Rutgers. Rutgers a 10 seed. Who would have thought that last month? But they've fallen. But that would be Rutgers and Ohio State. The winner there would play Maryland, and then Nebraska in Indiana, 11 seed, against Illinois, and then the winner of that would play Wisconsin.
Okay, so
this... if you went chalk, you'd have Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa, Ohio State, Maryland, Illinois, Wisconsin.
So, but in this chalk scenario, Penn State wins.
Right.
So there are folks asking, is it as easy as Iowa winning, getting that number 4 spot? Oh, let's see. Ohio, the Ohio State game would be the one that they need to watch out for, right? Because Ohio State plays Michigan State on the road, and Ohio State is the other 11-8 team in this discussion.
Do you want me to plug in Ohio State winning the game?
Yes.
All right. Iowa. I'm going to put Ohio State beats Michigan State, and you want me to put Iowa beating Illinois?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Because if we've already narrowed down Penn State, so if Penn
Iowa's
State
is still the 4 seed in that scenario,
so Mike Hall was correct,
and Ohio State would be the 5 seed instead of Penn State.
Then
Penn State would fall to the 6 seed.
So we have come to the realization that if Iowa wins on Sunday, they will get a double bye in the Big Ten tournament.
Yes,
correct. That is,
and I can also,
it is that simple.
How about if I put in? Is there anything else you want to? Say Rutgers wins at Purdue. Let's say Rutgers wins at Purdue. Iowa wins at Illinois. I guess the Rutgers-Purdue game doesn't make any difference, does it?
I guess really at this point we just want to find out.
What if Wisconsin? It's
that simple.
It's do or die Sunday.
So Illinois, their chances of getting a number one seed aren't completely done. But they could be in anywhere from 1 to 6. Now let's.
Here's the scenario: chalk, Illinois beats Iowa.
Let's do it.
Same on the top: Purdue, Michigan, 9-8, Michigan State 1. So, in other words, if this thing goes chalk this weekend, or as long as Michigan State wins, it's the number one seed.
So Michigan State wins; they beat Ohio State at home. They're going to be the number one seed.
They will be the Big Ten champion again.
And shocker.
Then you would have Northwestern, Minnesota. Let's not mess with that part, that win, those Wednesday games. It doesn't really matter. Penn State would be the 5. Wisconsin would be the 4. So if Illinois wins, not only are they a top 4 seed, they're the 3
seed. Yeah.
It looks like Maryland's locked into that 2 spot, and then you'd have Illinois, and then so you would have Iowa on Thursday playing the winner of Nebraska, Indiana. So basically,
so
on
Indiana,
Thursday,
they're playing Indiana. They'd play Indiana, so they'd be the 6 seed.
Iowa would be the 6 seed. So it's either 4 seed or 6 seed for Iowa, and you'd have most likely Indiana on Thursday. So you have to play the extra game, and you're playing Indiana where?
In Indianapolis.
Yeah, that's pretty close to the Bloomington, like less than an hour away.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong with Iowa playing Indiana in the Big Ten tournament?
And then, if you beat Indiana, who do you play again?
Purdue.
Illinois.
Oh, excuse me, Illinois. Right, swinging
on
back
Friday,
around.
You would have Illinois.
You tricked me there. That wouldn't even make sense to play Purdue. It would be Illinois, the number 3 seed.
Yeah.
So that's what's at stake, folks. 319-366-1600. If Iowa wins on Sunday, they'll be the number 4 seed. And
double bye.
Have a double bye, and more than likely, if Penn State doesn't lose to a lower seed, get into the quarterfinals with a matchup against Penn State.
What would you rather have, though? Obviously, you'd rather have that double bye, but if you have the double bye, you're on Michigan State's side of the bracket. Or would you want the Maryland, Illinois, it'd be Maryland or Illinois on the other side.
Here's the thing. If they beat Illinois.
Would you rather play Michigan State or Maryland? At a neutral court.
Maryland. The way that Maryland's playing right now versus Michigan State, I don't think there's any question Maryland, right?
I would agree.
But at this point, they just need to avoid any bad losses. They need to avoid, not that they would have to play.
They can't drop to
Nebraska,
would you think?
Or Northwestern.
If they lose Sunday and then lose to Indiana, which would be the scenario that we put out there.
Where would they drop to? A 7?
Yeah, I don't know. Would they go to 8? Because that's 7.
That's a long way down.
Yeah, 7 or 8 is not good.
No, it's not. And that's the position they've been in. You've discussed this, Rob. When they were in those 7 spots, they were in unwinnable positions in the second round.
Gonzaga in Seattle, Villanova in Brooklyn. You don't want that. You want Kansas and Omaha?
No.
Although Kansas would be a 1.
Kansas would be a 1. But
so Iowa would have to get to the 8-9 for that scenario to happen.
So Wiggy in Iowa City believes that Iowa's going to win. Does anybody else? 319-366-1600.
Do you think there's going to be any hangover from that first Iowa-Illinois game where there's chippiness? You expecting chippiness on Sunday?
I'm expecting chippiness, but not necessarily as a hangover from the first game. I just, when you get into a game like this, there's going to be chippiness, especially with the way these two teams play. And these are two, as I've said, alpha teams. They're very competitive. They're very physical, and they get after you.
That's a tough arena, too. They have a really good student section. I was Tom Davis's last year. They were chanting the entire game. Tom got fired. It was an other chance that I can't say on the air. So it's I was going into a tough spot here. I'll be interested to see what the line is, what the betting line is on that one. We won't know till tomorrow night.
Ed on the text line says, I'd rather see Iowa advance to the Elite Eight than any of the Big Ten scenarios. Yes. But the problem now is,
I still think you have to root for the best case scenario with the NCAA tournament.
Right. They're putting themselves in a position for the NCAA tournament. If they get into a 7 or an 8 spot, getting to the Sweet 16 for the first time since 1998?
Correct.
Is so difficult. Now, they almost did it last year, but they were down 20 points to the number 2 seed in that situation. They were the 10 seed last year. It just, that was their best opportunity in that spot. They need, in order to realistically think about that, they need to put themselves in that 5 or 6 spot to where they're not playing a 2 or a 1 in the second round. And in order to do that, they can't lose these they can't lose 2 in a row and bow out of the Big Ten tournament right away.
Be interesting to see if they do win Sunday and get that 4 seed, what type of bump they might get if they beat Penn State in that quarterfinal game.
Quad 1 victory.
Yeah, because Penn State is, I've got the net in front of me. Penn State is 30 in the net. So that would make that a quad 1. But then you have an opportunity on that Saturday. I'm pie in the sky right now, Alex. They'd have a shot at Michigan State. Then you win that and get to the Big Ten final. Then where are you seated?
See, this circling back to our discussion about you and I now, do you understand why we're a little skeptical about you and I making it to the tournament? I would love to see him in that spot. Joe Lunardi right now has them as a last 4 in. But look at these conferences. Look at the Big Ten, what we just discussed. Iowa's going to have a chance at how many quad 1 wins these next couple weeks, these next few games?
I'll give you this today. Purdue, starting today, before the UNI's loss, Purdue 16-14 on the season, 32 in the net rankings. UNI 23-5, 36. 4 spots behind Purdue in the net rankings. So there you go.
And Purdue at 16-14. Has another opportunity for a quad 1. Is Rutgers, would that be considered a quad 1 win?
Rutgers is 31. Yes, it would.
So they have them at home. Yes. Rutgers has been terrible away from the rack.
Rutgers is 1-8 on the road.
1-8 on the road. So there's another quad 1 win that they're going to pick up. And then whatever they do in the Big Ten tournament, I just hate this. I really do. And I think Purdue has been impressive at times this season. And they're a solid team. But Their overall body of work is that of mediocrity. They're 16-14.
Yeah.
They're a mediocre basketball team.
9-10 in the Big Ten?
Yes, 9-10 in the Big
Ten. So they need to beat Rutgers just to be .500 in the league.
Right. But I just have a feeling they're going to jump eventually.
Oh, yeah.
UNI. So,
well, they're ahead of UNI now, 4 spots in the net. We're crushing dreams of the Panthers today.
No,
but it's reality. I think if you're being objective, if you're a UNI fan, you understand the predicament you're in right now after losing today.
Here's the silver lining for UNI, as I said during the gym class. If you missed anything, you can visit our website at kgymradio.com. UNI has a young team, and even if they make the NIT, and let's just say they're a last 4 team out, or first 4 team out of the tournament, I should say.
What's Lunardi has them in right now?
Yes, as the last team overall in, which basically guarantees when you're sitting there with no games to play that you're going to be one of the first 4 out,
right?
Most likely. If they're one of those first 4 out, they're going to be a number 1 seed in the NIT. They're going to have home games in the postseason, and they have a young team. other than Spencer Haldeman and Isaiah Brown, who are seniors, they're not losing anybody. So this would be a good opportunity for sophomore A.J. Green and sophomore Austin Fife.
You know how that goes, though. But when teams fall
true,
to the NIT.
But sometimes
those, no, I agree.
Those mid-major teams, Wichita State comes to mind,
right.
It's their first chance to play postseason basketball. We saw it with Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Was that 2012, 2013?
Yeah.
I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
They had a big lead on Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament,
mm-hmm.
with a chance to win that one, probably sneak in the tournament. They weren't able to. They followed the NIT. They make a run all the way to the championship game of the NITs. But yes, there are times, especially
the trying to get over the disappointment of being in the NIT and not the NCAA. Is
now,
tough.
If an Indiana or a Purdue falls to that first four out, it's almost like a guarantee they're going to lose in the first round. It's like you might as well not even show up because that is going to be a loss. 3-1, 3-1-9.
Minnesota at 13-16 is 40. They're 45 in the net. They're nine spots behind you and I at 23-5. That's an illustration there of, you know, not being able to get quad one wins. Because you can't play quad one teams in your league. Even if Northern Iowa stacked its non-conference schedule with quad one games, which it can't because teams aren't going to play them, they're beat. The system's got them.
0449 wants you to pull out the bracket simulator.
It's out. What do you want?
I joke about this one. But if Iowa wins Sunday and wins the Big Ten tournament, what are they seeded? That is a great question.
I don't have that in the simulator.
No feature like that in the simulator?
No.
What kind of simulator is
but
this?
But Iowa would finish fourth in the regular season and then be tournament champion. I got to think three?
They'd be top four pretty easily, right?
Yeah. Four seed and pushing the three line, I would think. Because you would have wins most likely over the scenario we put up there. Penn State, most likely Michigan State, and then Maryland or Wisconsin. Most likely.
And then twice over Illinois, who's probably a five or a six at that point. So
yeah.
It's going to get
dream.
Interesting.
Dare to dream.
Dare to dream. 309-366-1600. Jeremy Werner of ESPN 93.5 in Champaign, Urbana is going to join us in just a few minutes to preview Sunday night's contest. But first, we need to get you a big board update. It's the first of the day. The UNI Panthers swept the regular season series over Drake, but the third time was a charm for the Bulldogs. Drake becomes the first 8 seed in MVC tournament history to advance to the semifinals with a 77-56 win over UNI. The Panthers, the tournament number one overall seed, are going to have to sweat this one out on Selection Sunday and could be heading to the NIT. The Iowa women will play tonight about 7:30 or 8 p.m. start time. In Indianapolis, they're going to play 6-seeded Ohio State in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. With Illinois' loss to Ohio State, the Iowa basketball team is still alive for a top-4 seed in the Big Ten tournament, and all they need to do is go to Champaign on Sunday and beat the Illini. The contest will get underway on Sunday night at 6 p.m. Today, Luca Garza was named a finalist for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award, given annually to the nation's top center. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders are on the road for two games in Youngstown, Ohio this weekend. They'll play one game tonight and one game tomorrow against the Phantoms, and both games are scheduled to get underway at 6:05 p.m. The Iowa baseball team was back in action today in Port Charlotte, Florida. They took on Western Michigan with Jack Dreyer making the start for Iowa. Needless to say, Dreyer had another fantastic outing. The Hawkeyes won 10-0 over Western Michigan. I believe they will have Georgetown tomorrow and then Army on Sunday. So we'll take a break. Come back. Jeremy Werner of the Illini Inquirer of the 24/7 Sports Networks is going to join us next to preview Iowa and Illinois in Champaign on Sunday. Where the ball never-
sandwich or a brew. We take pride in taking care of you.
It's still Murphy's Bar and Grill in Riverside, a great place to stop and eat on your way to or from the beautiful Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Murphy's Bar and Grill has a nice, relaxed atmosphere where almost everybody knows your name. Plenty of spirits for your pleasure and a huge menu. Everything from incredible ahi to melt-in-your-mouth ribeye. And, oh, the lasagna. Mwah! Stop on out to Murphy's Bar and Grill for a great meal and a good time. Highway 22 in Riverside, Murphy.
Where the fun never ends. Murphy's Bar and Grill.
You work hard, and you deserve to get the most for your money. Like health insurance coverage with the largest, most accessible networks, so you can choose where you want to go for care. Like having multiple plans, so you can choose the coverage that works best for you. Mostly, you deserve to have the health insurance expertise Iowans have been trusting for over 80 years. Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield. To find the small business or individual plan that's right for you, talk to your local agent about Wellmark today. Get started at wellmark.com.
Paint? No. Paramount isn't just paint. It's the number one paint in overall interior hide and stain resistance, providing the most advanced protection in just one coat. And now you can get that same outstanding protection with our new Paramount One Coat White. This first-of-its-kind one-coat ready mix white provides a beautiful white finish. You'll find Paramount paint exclusively at Menards. In third-party tests, interior paint claims versus super premium home center brands in eggshell sheen.
Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Savings are mail-in rebate. See store for details.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Eric Preuss with the Iowa Department of Public Health. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling or to start the conversation with someone who cares by clicking on live chat or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Just after 4:30, hour number one continuing on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Plenty more to come as the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, is coming up in the second hour, as former Hawkeye Anthony Clemens will join us as he continues his professional basketball career in France. But Iowa has a huge game on Sunday night against the Illinois Fighting Illini, and here to preview it from an Illini standpoint, Jeremy Werner, the publisher of Illini Inquirer of the 24/7 Sports Network, as well as the host of the Jeremy Werner Show on 93.5 ESPN in Champaign-Urbana, joins us now. And Jeremy, last night, Illinois, a pretty strong first half. Ohio State comes back and wins the game, and it sets up a huge clash between Iowa and Illinois on Sunday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Illinois fighting for Big Ten championship hopes going into last night, and while those aren't dead yet, Illinois controlled its own destiny. Now it needs a lot of help. It needs Michigan State, Wisconsin, Maryland all lose, and to beat Iowa. But they'll know before the Iowa game whether that's a possibility, because they're the final regular season game in the Big Ten, these two teams. But they're still fighting for a double bye in the Big Ten tournament, a top four finish in the Big Ten. And they're still fighting for NCAA seeding, trying to get to maybe that, you know, they're between that 7 and 8 seed line right now with a win over Iowa, maybe another Big Ten tournament win. Maybe they can get up to that 6 seed line, and maybe they make a run of the Big Ten tournament, they can get up to that 5 seed line. So, yeah, still a lot to play for, which is a nice change of pace here in Champaign after Illinois missed 6 straight NCAA tournaments.
So many people remember the first meeting between these two teams, how physical it was, how tightly contested it was, really how fun of a basketball game that it was. You mentioned the stakes for Illinois, for the Iowa Hawkeyes. They're trying to get that final top 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament and get that double bye. This could even be more intense, knowing what's at stake between these two teams.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I love that game. I agree with
absolutely.
You at Iowa City. Obviously, these are border state teams, and there's some history here. And it felt like they didn't like each other. And to be honest with you, I like seeing that. I like seeing the intensity
those two teams are kind of fighting for a spot at the top of the Big Ten. And both teams trying to fight for that spot where they can wait until Friday to play in the Big Ten tournament, make sure their fans have a weekend getaway rather than maybe just a Thursday night getaway to Indianapolis. So, yeah, I loved that game. I thought Luka Garza was obviously fantastic, but Illinois has done a really good job of shutting teams down from three. So I think Garza posed a lot of the same issues that Caleb Wesson did to Kofi Coburn last night. You know, Kofi Coburn is one of the Big Ten Freshman of the Year candidates, 7 foot, 285, just a physical force. But he struggled against Luka Garza, who pulled him out from three, and that kind of took away Illinois' rebounding ability, its ability to stop at the rim. So I think that's what we're looking forward to most. I think Garza will get his, but Illinois has been really good at slowing teams down from three. And it's, as we know, Iowa's one of the best in the Big Ten at really going off from three. So it's going to be a really, really interesting matchup.
Jeremy Werner, friend of the show, the host of the Jeremy Werner Show on ESPN 93.5 in Champaign-Urbana, joins us on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Something that you just alluded to, the history between these two programs. It seems like for the last two decades, neither program has sort of been good at the same time. Iowa's had a bad stretch. Illinois, as you mentioned, six straight missed tournaments. And now all of a sudden, these two programs are playing good basketball for the first time, like I said, in seemingly two decades. Does it feel like the rivalry is back based on what we saw in that first matchup?
I think it has the potential to. I think that's what I kind of learned, because Illinois has always kind of been looking for a rival. And when they're good, Illinois-Indiana had a little bit of a spat there when Eric Gordon decommitted from Illinois and went to Indiana. So that was kind of the revved up rivalry. You know, Purdue's so close, and they've kind of been similar historical programs. So that's kind of been a bit of a rivalry. Illinois fans don't want Northwestern to be their rivalry, though those games have been really interesting over the last decade or so. But I think Illinois and Iowa have a similar, identity right now. I mean, look at these two coaches. Both of these coaches are really intense. Both of them have kind of built up these programs into better programs. Obviously, Brad Underwood has turned this thing around relatively quickly, and Fran McCaffrey's got Iowa back towards the top of the conference. So I think, some fans might, on the eastern side of Illinois, might think Indiana or Purdue's the bigger rivalry, but the Quad Cities area, I know that's that area that there's not a lot of love lost between these two fan bases. So I don't know if it's the number one rivalry, but it certainly feels like there was a little bit of bad blood, and I found it entertaining, for one. I found it kind of reassuring, because a lot of teams kind of like each other, and I know in this era of NBA where players, kind of talk great about each other, it's kind of nice to see a little bit of a rivalry, even if it's just on the court.
Now, Illinois lost four games at the beginning of February, and since then they've won four of five. How have they been able to right the ship?
Well, one, the schedule really helped. They had the low point of their schedule coming off the toughest part of their schedule. They had Michigan State, Maryland, a couple road games there, including Rutgers. Then they got Northwestern, Nebraska, Indiana involved there. But the biggest key has been Io DeSumo. I don't know how many people are watching Illinois basketball out there, but, Luka Garza is pretty clearly the Big Ten Player of the Year and all first team guy. But as people are filling out their all Big Ten first team, I would struggle with anyone who doesn't put Io DeSumo on there. Listen, in that Michigan State loss in the final play of the game, it looked like he was had a season-ending knee injury. Everyone was fearing the worst, that he tore his knee and then that he's out. So it was kind of a double whammy of, oh, my gosh, is this season over? Is his career over? Because could he go pro? But he only missed one game at Rutgers, which was a loss. But he came back and led Illinois to a huge win at Penn State, three straight wins since then. And he was pretty heroic at Ohio State. He just got no help. That was the problem. But he's averaging 20-plus points over the last five games. And he's one of the best guards in the Big Ten. I mean, I think he's probably a notch above Anthony Cowan right now, and I think he and Cassius Winston are probably the best guards in the Big Ten. So he's been a huge lift. And the other thing is Illinois has been great at stopping the three. Their guards, whether it's DeSumo, Trent Frazier, Demonte Williams, and I would even add Andres Feliz into that, their guards are tough. They really close out well on three-point shooters, and they force a lot of tough twos. And if Kofi Coburn's able to hang around the rim, he's a nice rim protector. So the defense in Io DeSumo have been the huge keys to Illinois basketball getting back to the NCAA tournament.
I'm glad you kind of made that comparison between Luka Garza and Ayo Dosunmu, because Garza for this Iowa team sets the tone with his energy and his constant confidence. And it seems like whenever I watch Illinois, the energy and the confidence at all times that Ayo Dosunmu plays with really rubs off on his teammates.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you need an alpha, right? You need
right.
a star. And to be honest with you, Ayo Dosunmu kind of came into the year, people were thinking, oh, is he a first-round pick? Some people are like, can he be a lottery pick? He was a little bit too passive early on. He didn't take over games. And you're wondering, is he a true leader? Is he an NBA draft pick? Is he going to be around for another year? And I can say that's probably not going to be the case. I think he's going to get drafted. But he takes over. He's the run stopper. He's the run starter for Illinois. He just makes big buckets. He plays better probably even on the road. But, you know, he takes over games. He's got a pro mentality. He always looked up to Kobe Bryant and that Mamba mentality. And I think Garza's kind of got that same toughness, grit, that they're going to get the most out of them. And the biggest thing with those two guys is I think you've seen in the offseason how much better those guys have gotten. It shows how much basketball means to them, how much work they put in. And I think that's what makes them great players and great leaders for both these respective teams.
Now, with Kofi Coburn, he went through a little bit of a dry spell there in the beginning of February, as we mentioned. As you brought up, the schedule is tough. He had to go against Luka Garza, then Jalen Smith and Xavier Tillman, then they had to play Rutgers. He seems to have adjusted to what Big Ten teams have thrown at him over the past month as well.
Again, I think the schedule played a
right.
part in that. He didn't play very well against Luka Garza, right?
Right.
Like, he dominated against some of these worse opponents. You know, Indiana, he played really well, and Indiana has a bunch of big men. But he was able to kind of stay inside the paint because Indiana had two guys in the court, and Trace Jackson Davis and Grace Thompson and Joey Brunk, who really couldn't stretch the floor. That's one of the hard parts, of course, of guarding Luka Garza is, one, he can stretch the floor, and he hit, what, 4 3-pointers, I believe,
yes.
Last time Illinois played against them. And that's where Kofi Coburn's really going to struggle when we talk about his NBA possibilities. He's a brute force, but in the NBA, all these bigs kind of stretching, like Luka Garza, like we see with Xavier Tillman, and last night with Caleb Wesson. The other part is I think Luka Garza really gave Kofi a wake-up call of the physicality it takes to play within the Big Ten. One of my things I'll say adore about watching Luka Garza is how quickly he starts fighting for post position. When he gets up and down the court, CJ Frederick or whoever's got the ball, Toussaint, whoever it is, might not even be across half court, and Luka Garza's already winning the post battle. That's a physicality, it's a relentlessness, it's a tenacity. I think Kofi Coburn hadn't experienced the high school level that much because he's just 7'285", and nobody can compete with him. Well, Luka Garza can, Xavier Tillman can, Caleb Wesson can, and that's going to be an interesting matchup because for Illinois, they don't have a lot of post depth. Georgie Bashanishvili has had a really rough sophomore season. Kipper Nichols is kind of their third post player, and he's really more of a wing player. So if Kofi Coburn doesn't have a solid game, Illinois is going to struggle against NCAA tournament teams like in Iowa, especially when you got a guy who can stretch the floor like Luka Garza. So Kofi definitely is a key, but when he's on, he just dominates the glass. He had 6 blocks against Indiana. So he's completely changed what they do offensively, where they've run more pick and roll action, which has made Ayo Dosunmu's life easier, Andres Feliz's life easier. But defensively, they didn't have a rim protector last year, and Kofi might not get the most blocks in the world, but he definitely influences opponent's shots at the rim.
You mentioned him. How frustrating of a sophomore season has this been for Georgie Bashanishvili?
Yeah, it's been a frustrating year for a couple guys that have been stars on this team. I mean, Bashanishvili had really one of the most surprising freshman seasons we've ever seen at Illinois. He was, 360th ranked recruit in the class
right.
of 2018, and nobody really knew how to say his name or who he was when he committed to Illinois. But he averaged 12.5 points, 5 rebounds last year, was one of the most skilled low-post scorers we've seen. But he had to switch positions with Kofi coming in, and he had to play the 4, where Illinois really didn't have a player that with that kind of skill set. Like E.J. Liddell, we saw last night tear up Illinois. They don't have that kind of versatile player at the four. So, Georgie, that didn't fit, and it seemed to get him off his rhythm. It really affected his confidence. He'd been playing a little bit better here recently in that he'd been rebounding, but Brad Underwood's kind of just made him the backup five, hoping to get him a little bit more comfortable. But it's been a little bit of a lost season for Georgie, and the fact that, you know, he's had to adjust a lot. He's been playing out of position a lot. It just seems like he's never been able to get confidence back. But another key I want to tell your listeners about is Trent Frazier, who is really the star of this team the last couple years, and really the only good thing they had going 2 years ago, and with Io DeSumo was one of the better scorers and three-point shooters in the Big Ten. He has been really terrible offensively here recently. He's in the worst shooting slump of his career. And Illinois is the worst shooting team in the Big Ten from three. So he's one of two guys, along with Alan Griffin, who can really stretch the floor. And that showed up last night. You know, Ohio State double-teamed Io DeSumo off the ball screen action and off the dribble and forced other people to beat them, and Illinois just couldn't make shots. Trent Frazier's shot 17 to 20% over the last seven games. So he's in a really rough stretch, and they need him to get going, Alan Griffin to get going, because at some point somebody other than Io DeSumo and Kofi Coburn got a score.
That's interesting, because for Iowa, Joe Wieskamp is in one of the biggest shooting slumps of his career. Yeah. Two guys that both teams really rely on to make outside shots. Andres Feliz had a really outstanding game the last time these two teams played, and we were talking about Georgie Bishanishvili. It seemed like Brad Underwood sometimes would start Bishanishvili if he wanted to go big, and it seems like now he's content with going with the four guard lineup.
Yeah, Andres Feliz has been one of the best players in this team, and he's really turned it on since that Iowa game. He's just the epitome of toughness about everything Brad Underwood wants, the ultimate glue guy. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the biggest guy, but he can score. He's as strong as an ox. He can finish around the rim against bigger guys, finds a way to create space. Besides last night at Ohio State, where he's uncharacteristic four turnovers, he's been a great ball handler and creator for his teammates. He's a really solid defender. But just the 50-50 balls. I mean, he had 11 rebounds against Ohio State. It's routine to see him get 7-plus rebounds as a 6-foot-1 guard. So he does a little bit of everything. And without him, I think Illinois would be sweating right now about their NCAA tournament resume. So he's been really good. And, you know, he was coming off the bench for a long time because he, Io DeSumo, and Trent Frazier were struggling to coexist on the court for a long time. But they've kind of figured it out. And the other guy who's kind of helped that is Demonte Williams. He's only about 6'3", 6'4", as a guard, but he's got about a 7-foot wingspan. He's been guarding guys who are a lot taller than him and doing a really good job at it. He's been making some threes here recently, too, which he's not known as a scorer, but he's been a nice presence for them that's kind of allowed them to play small, because he can guard a guy like Wieskamp and give him some trouble. Or, you know, even if it's for a minute or two, he can battle with a guy like E.J. Liddell or Kreiner. We can see him do that, even though he's really undersized for those guys. He's just a tough defender.
Jeremy Werner, the publisher of the Illini Inquirer of the 24/7 Sports Network, as well as the host of the Jeremy Werner Show on ESPN 93.5 in Champaign-Urbana. Thank you so much, and should be fun on Sunday night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I like the matchups between these two teams. Thanks for having me.
Should be fun. Iowa and Illinois at the State Farm Center in Champaign on Sunday night for both teams to try to lock up a double bye in the Big Ten tournament. Hour number one is about to wrap up. Anthony Clemons, the former Iowa Hawkeye point guard, is going to join us in just a few minutes inside the Big Hour, and then we're going to hand out our postseason superlatives. Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, First Team All-Big Ten, Sixth Man of the Year, as Rob Howe and I will discuss that after we chat with Sapp. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Hey guys, it's time to get ready for outside living again at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, they're the only area distributor for the new Weber 24-inch wood pellet smoker, so you can smoke, grill, or sear right in the backyard. Just $999.
Right, Hal. And Scott's four-step lawn program is just $64.99 with rebate and covers 5,000 square feet.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com.
Salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
What are you doing, Dave? We need help with payroll.
I'm doing squats, Mr. Employee of the Month. I'm taking your advice and I'm working my butt off.
That's not what I meant.
Glutes of steel. Feel them. Right here.
Oh, Dave, now I have to call HR.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Basketball season is heating up. It's the time when the standings begin to take shape and real competitors discover just how far they can go.
Goodyear knows the road to the playoffs takes the right amount of momentum and drive, and that movement is the path to discovering your true potential.
So on your drive, Goodyear wants to help you discover your own possibilities, no matter where the road leads.
When it comes to choosing tires, visit Goodyear.com and pursue the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Ah, the copperhead snake. It hisses before attacking. But that's not a copperhead. That's the Sullivan's RV freshwater tank overflowing into their black one, which is backing into their vent pipe, making for a very different kind of attack. One that arrives just in time for taco night. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Our new PXG Gen 3 irons are the best golf irons we've ever made by a long shot. Gen 3 irons deliver game-changing distance, outstanding accuracy, with a feel so soft, it's like spreading warm butter on a hot biscuit. Oh my! Sold only at PXG stores, fitting studios, and PXG.com. To find out more, visit PXG.com or call 844-PLAY-PXG today. PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Now exclusively at the Home Depot. Give your lawn a 1-2 punch with a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and save 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Pick up both bags. Apply Triple Action now to knock out tough weeds and Ultra Feed 8 weeks later to green and feed all season. Two bags, one stronger, greener lawn. With a 1-2 punch with Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action and 50% on a bag of Scott's Turf Builder Ultra Feed. Now at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. While supplies last, selection varies by store.
This is Jesse's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
As a nurse, not making it to work was not an option. But driving through the snow with my wiper blades struggling, I just didn't feel safe. So I pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts, and before I knew it, an employee was offering to install the wiper blades on my car. I got to stay out of the snow for a moment, and I still made it to work on time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
There's an app to save on flights. An app to rent a bike, and an app to help you save for driving safely. The Allstate app gives you real-time driving feedback with DriveWise, giving you the power to lower your insurance cost. In fact, safe drivers can save 40% or more. Connect and save with DriveWise. You're in good hands.
Download the Allstate app today. Savings may vary by state and driving behaviors. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Use of Allstate Mobile with activation of DriveWise required. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. And now, it comes in two great tropical flavors, Strawberry Banana and Tropical Burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/30/120. Terms apply. See 5hewin.com for details.
Thank you to Jeremy Werner for joining us in the first hour of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on a beautiful Friday afternoon here in Eastern Iowa. You're listening to us on all four of our KGYM frequencies, 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, now featuring some excellent programming from SB Nation, 106.3 and 102.3 FM, and 1600 AM, the historic main gym. You can visit our website, kgymradio.com, for our podcasts, where the gym class, as well as the Todd Brommelkamp Show, the show you're listening to right now, will be available in their entirety following the conclusion of our program. The Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, is about to get underway in just about 5 minutes, and hopefully we'll be hearing from former Iowa point guard Anthony Clemons as his outstanding professional career overseas continues. He's, Rob, as you've been mentioned, been climbing the ladder, played in Austria,
yep,
and is now in France.
Yeah, and really good hoops over there. As you were, we were talking about off the air, you were naming some off some guys that play in those leagues over there, guys that, you know, college basketball fans would be familiar with.
College basketball fans, NBA fans.
Yeah.
Anthony Clemons plays for AS Monaco, and he shares a backcourt with former NBA, longtime NBA player, Norris Cole. I believe NBA champion, mm-hmm, Norris Cole with the Miami Heat, played with LeBron James, I want to say, out of Cleveland State?
Sounds right.
Something, one of those schools. But we're going to hear from Anthony Clemons here, hopefully, in this next hour. We're also going to be handing out our Big Ten season awards, which will be very exciting as well. Who's the freshman of the year? Who's the player of the year? I think we're going to be pretty similar on a lot of these. Yeah. Rob, some of them are
pretty cut and dried, I think. And then the coach of the year.
That one I haven't decided yet. I've written every other one down, and I have not decided on that one yet because that's just so unbelievably difficult. But the Big Hour is coming up next, and we'll hear from Anthony Clemons here, and it looks like we have him lined up and ready to go from France, but we can't get to him until we get to a top of the hour Sports Center update, which you're going to hear here momentarily, and plenty more discussion on the way as we've discussed throughout the day. Plenty of interaction on the First Federal Credit Union text line about the importance of this game for the Iowa Hawkeyes on Sunday in Champaign. If they win, it's very cut and dry, in case you're just joining us. We've run all the scenarios with Rob Howe's handy-dandy...
Podcast will be up after the show.
Yeah, his handy-dandy simulator. But Iowa wins on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday in Champaign. They will be the number 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament. Anthony Clemons, former Iowa point guard, joins us next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Dolphins quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick says he'll be voting yes on the new collective bargaining agreement with team owners. Players have until next Thursday to vote. Players Union President Eric Winston.
I want a guy to make an educated decision for himself. And he's got to go look through this and he's got to say, okay, this is how this is going to affect me. And if that is on the whole very good, then I think he's going to vote for it.
Eric Winston on Golic and Wingo. The new CBA will pass if it gets a simple majority, 50% plus one vote. Jets defensive lineman Quinnen Williams was arrested last night when he tried to board a flight at New York's LaGuardia Airport with a handgun. Williams did not have ammunition in his possession. He faces a court date on March 25th. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge has a broken rib. He'll be out at least another 2 weeks. The Brewers make it official today, signing outfielder Christian Yelich to a 9-year contract worth about $215 million. And Tiger Woods will miss the Players' Championship next week with stiffness in his back.
Coming up Monday, Tom Brady Watch rolls on as we await his decision, and it's a big weekend for the Lakers. How will the West be won? Plus, championship week in the NCAA, and who won the weekend? Golic and Wingo Monday, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar is turning 3, and they're throwing a party. Come celebrate with them on March 14th with an open mic comedy night at 7 and a show featuring professional comedian Carl Giannetto at 8. It's been an amazing 3 years at Brick Alley, and in that short time, they've become the number one sports pub in Marion. So come by March 14th and join the party. Brick Alley Pub and Sports Bar, celebrating 3 years on 7th Avenue in Uptown Marion.
Hour number 2. On a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, it's time for the Big Hour. I want to thank Steve Anderson and his crew at Hawkeye Title and Settlement for being the outstanding sponsor of this hour all throughout football and basketball season. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Howe. Todd will be back with us hopefully on Monday as he's been a little bit under the weather. Excited about this next segment. I don't think we've ever had somebody on the program live from France. So we're going to give this a shot for the first time. But former Iowa point guard Anthony Clemons is our guest today on the Big Hour. And Anthony, how's it going? How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me, man.
How's professional basketball life in France treating you? I know your career has taken you to a bunch of different places, but you're still playing some very high level basketball and getting paid to do it.
Yeah, man. Life's good, man. I can't complain at all, man. Last year for the past 2 years, I was in Russia, where it was cold, but you know there was very high level basketball. This year, I come to France in Monaco. Everybody probably in the world knows about Monaco. It's just a different atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? Definitely with the weather being what it is, so. And then again, here's another high-level basketball team, level program, a level league. So it's been nothing but good, you know. And you know, as a professional, my career has done nothing but, you know, make jumps to success. You know, as time went on.
It's obviously it's midnight there where you are now, so we appreciate you staying up for us. With that in mind, do you get to watch much of the Iowa games? Can you get them over there?
Yes, I do. I actually watched the last versus Penn State. I watched a lot of the home games when I'm out on the road. You know what I'm saying? I try to tune in as much as possible. Man, I can tell you, the Hawkeyes this year has, you know, a big surprise, you know. I'm really excited to see the success guys are having. You know, they're putting on a clinic for you guys out there.
When you watch that team, the level of toughness that they have and kind of how they take pride in, on the defensive end of the court and making the right play, that was kind of the way that you played. Do you just sort of marvel at the way that this team in particular takes care of its business?
See, and that's what, you know, that's what, you know, I'm saying, to watch. And this is why I watch a lot of the games now, because, you know, everybody's pretty in one sync, you know what I'm saying? Like one through eight guys, you know, are, you know, on the floor and they're giving it their all every possession. And you have to love that about a team, you know, and I know there has been a few injuries, you know, but, you know, everybody has stepped up, you know, and, you know, I'm saying, filled up those shoes. So and I love the toughness and I love the way that the guys are coming together as one. And I think it's going to be big for the guys moving into the postseason.
What was it like playing for Coach McCaffrey? What was your experience like?
It was good. You know, obviously everybody knows, you know, my rough season, you know, my second year after coming off of, you know, it's been a good season my first year. And, you know, kind of have a bunch of hurdles, you know, and a bunch of up and down, you know, my second year. And the big question was I going to leave or not? You know, I can't say I didn't think about it, but, you know, the level of respect he gave me for staying and, you know, putting the pressure on myself and taking accountability, you know, for, you know, why I wasn't playing as much, you know, our relationship grown as much. And I could feel, you know, him trusting me more and able to keep me in games and, you know, trust in, you know, what I could bring to the table. So, you know, the 4 years that I was there, it was remarkable. You know, it was definitely a life lesson. It helped me a lot, you know, throughout my professional career, believe it or not. So I thank Coach McCaffrey and the whole Iowa organization for helping me build me who I am, because if they didn't, I wouldn't be where I am right now.
How has your game grown the most since we saw you in Iowa City?
man, I was a totally different player, man. I can tell you that, you know, confident-wise, You know, in my first year, you know, the ball was put in my hand a lot more. And, you know, I had to score the ball a lot more. Obviously, everybody knows that I could score the basketball. But, you know, I was the main guy, you know, my first, you know, 1-2 years. Now, on my team now, I'm another, you know, 1, 2, or 3rd option, you know what I'm saying, looking to score the basketball. So, offensively, you know, I've, you know, dug into more into, I guess the kids now would say, into their bags. And, you know, I got a lot better. You know, I shoot the ball a lot better. I'm able to put a lot more work in the gym. So, I think that helped me a lot in everything. Just confident. I'm more confident. You know, still a dog on defense, as always. But, yeah, man. I have to come up there, you know, and, you know, play sometime in the summertime.
What are your impressions of Joe Toussaint? He reminds me a little bit of you, except he's a little faster. I kid.
Come on.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I can give him that compliment, too. He's definitely a little, you know, he's definitely faster. I could say he might be a little more quicker. You know, he's built strongly. You know, he's a tough guard. You know, obviously, you know, guys from New York, you know, they bring a certain type of swagger, a certain type of toughness. And I think he, you know, brings what Iowa this year needs, you know what I'm saying, that toughness at the guard spot. But when you're going against a team, you know what I'm saying, with that type of swagger, you know what I'm saying, you have a guy that can, you know, pull up and, you know, not back down, you know, and just kind of uplift his guys and say, guys, we can, you know, we can go with anybody. I love him. I love his game. You know, I just love what he brings. I know throughout his career he would develop more of a better jumper, and he'd be able to knock down mid-ranges and spot three-point shots. So I just would encourage him to continue to stay in the gym and shoot more. You know what I'm saying? So guys can respect it. You know, and once he starts knocking down jumpers, man, it's going to get scary.
Now, you mentioned you're playing for Monaco in France. One of your teammates, Norris Cole, a two-time NBA champion. I know that a lot of the players in the league that you play in, a lot of them from America, some of them that you played against out of the Big Ten. What is this level like for you playing in such a high-level league this year?
Man, it's crazy. It's a man, because, you know, you see a bunch of guys that, you know, either you've seen growing up, you know what I'm saying, or you see a guy, guys that's been on TV, you know, and or in the NBA, you know what I'm saying. So to come across those guys and match up, you know, it's unbelievable. You know, actually, you know, Peter Jock, he's in my league this year too. I ran across him, played against him. On the 18th, I'm going to be playing against Devin Moore. He's in Italy, but, you know, we play like a Euro Cup challenge. And, you know, so it's interesting. You know, I got to play against Jerry Toff last year, scrimmaged against Aaron. So to be able to run into former teammates and, you know what I'm saying, see guys that, you know what I'm saying, that you played against throughout the Big Ten. I just seen Malcolm Hill from Illinois last week. So it's unbelievable, man. You just realize how far you come. You try not to think about age, and you're getting older, but still be playing at a high level right now, man. It's unbelievable.
What's it like when you play against your former teammates at Iowa?
Man, it's weird, man. Definitely, you know, when I played against Peter Jock, I think we both had our worst games, you know, of the season. But, you know, to play against him, you know, it's kind of shocking. You know, he had his family up here. I had, you know, a couple of my family members down here to, you know, kind of support us. And it was just surreal because, you know, we're used to, you know what I'm saying, playing with each other, whether it's open gym or real game. So it was just shocking. It was almost like playing against my best friends at Michigan State. You know, it was just shocking, you know. It was fun, you know, despite the performances that we had, but it was nice just to reconnect. McCoyism again.
Well, Anthony, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you staying up late to check in with us, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Oh, man, appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Anthony Clemons, former point guard for the University of Iowa. Good to check in with him. Now,
apologies.
He's calling us from the mountains in France and at midnight. And
man, but you would still think as many advancements technology-wise that they couldn't come up with a better connection from France to Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
I mean, I can't get a connection from my apartment in Coralville, I didn't expect one from France.
Actually, if you take that into consideration, it wasn't that bad.
Waving my hand like, oh, yeah, I can hear him. I can hear him a little bit, a little choppy, but we got him on. And to me, as I've said, probably the most underappreciated player of the Fran McCaffrey era, and the guy that once he was gone, you're like, man, I wish we could get him back if you're an Iowa fan.
Yeah. Just a bulldog on defense.
And you knew that there was – see, I'm looking at his statistics in France, and he's averaging right around 11 points per game. When he was in Austria, he was averaging like right around 16. I always knew there's a little bit of untapped offensive potential in there too. He just wasn't asked to do it all that often.
Yeah, and he played with Denzel Valentine in high school. He had a lot of good players on his high school team,
right,
too. So he was a facilitator, you know, passing, assist. That was kind of his game, defend. But he filled a nice role on those Iowa teams.
When I hear him say, man, I'm just a completely different player, that's what it tells me. It tells me he got some coaching. He's allowed to play more with the ball in his hands. He's allowed to be more of a scorer, and he kind of wasn't in high school. I'm not going to say he wasn't allowed in college, but there were guys around him where he was facilitating. And
Mike Gazelle was more of the point guard
exactly.
with him, so it was a little bit different of a dynamic.
Very interesting, but good to hear from him. We still have a little bit of time before we get to I don't want to spoil these.
No, keep them hanging.
When you sent me the list of like this, all the postseason awards that we're giving away today, I was like, that's going to take 2 hours.
And I actually have last year's up here. They do three teams for the Big Ten. They do all league, three different all league teams.
Isn't that most of the players in the Big Ten?
We didn't do sportsmanship award honorees either.
No, we didn't do that.
Nicholas Bear was Iowa's last year. They'd give one for each team. Brad Davison was not for
no, he wasn't.
Wisconsin, no.
Did they do that in the ACC? Like, was Grayson Allen for Duke?
No.
No? Okay. I think that we're going to be kind of on the same line as far as Big Ten Player of the Year.
But I'm not, but I, when, and we talked about it off the air in terms of the all-league teams, it's not easy.
No. Especially with the big guys.
Yeah.
And then in the backcourt, too, I think there are three really good point guards and only two spots.
Yeah. See, did you go position for position? Top five guys.
Oh, you just went top five guys.
Yeah.
So I went.
Well, last year's team, I'll give you, it was Bruno Fernando, Cassius Winston, Lamar Stevens, Carson Edwards, and Ethan Happ. That was last year's first team. So you've got. That's pretty, I mean, balanced positionally, I would say.
Could you repeat that one more time? Who was it? Bruno Fernando.
Bruno Fernando, who got Dolphin trouble. Cassius Winston.
You brought it up, not me.
Lamar Stevens, Carson Edwards, and Ethan Happ. And then second team was Romeo Langford, Anthony Cowan, Iggy Brazdeikis, Xavier Simpson, and Jordan Murphy.
The thing is, though, this year, if you're going top five, then you're probably going to go 2 point guards and three centers, right? Three bigs?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not going to spoil anything.
You're not changing your team now.
I'm not changing anything. I'm not going to do it. If we're exactly on the same spot, we have to treat this with absolutely the most.
By the way, Bohannon and Cook were both third team All Big Ten last year. We didn't do a third team. We just did first and second.
Mike from Marengo, I really hope that Joe Toussaint can get a little better ball control and decrease the turnovers next year. That's the key for him. And I just wonder how much PT he's going to get now going into the games mattering as much as they do from here on out.
I think those turnovers, I don't know if you'd agree with this, are just when he gets going too fast.
Yes.
And I think when he matures, that those will decrease.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not worried about it long term if I'm the Iowa basketball program. I think he's going to be a great player. But he's a freshman now, and you just wonder now, okay, Illinois, they can't afford to turn the ball over.
No.
Against Illinois. They can't afford to turn the ball over in the Big Ten tournament, and they sure can't afford to turn the ball over in the NCAA tournament.
Nope.
So you just wonder how much Bakari Evelyn are you going to see compared to Toussaint. I'm not saying he's going to get completely benched, but 15, 20 minutes a game.
Seems like Fran's got a pretty quick hook.
He does.
With Toussaint.
And it's going to be even quicker now with the stakes, you would mm-hmm. think. But he's going to have to play because they're 8 able players right now. With the ability to play, but you get the idea with the way that Evelyn had been playing and kind of steadies that offense, that maybe we'll see more of him than Toussaint down the stretch.
And then you've got Connor, too,
right.
That's kind of, you know, a point forward, if you will. And so you don't really need that true – it's nice to have the true point guard, especially on defense. I think that's where Toussaint helps the most defensively. Right now, I think he's pretty steady on defense. And I thought it was interesting what Clemens said, Alex. He's got to get in the gym and work on his shot, his mid-range game, his three-point shot, because
they're not even guarding him right now.
And that takes away his ability to penetrate if they're backing off of him. But if they have to respect his shot and they come up on him, we know he's quick and he can go around guys because he goes around guys now even when they're laying off of him.
319-366-1600. Thank you to Anthony Clemens for joining us. I really don't know what to expect on Sunday. I think it's gonna be a good game. That's all I'm looking at and wondering, can Iowa go into that situation and play an inspired game and come out of the gate and lock in defensively, make it tough on Illinois, not get destroyed on the boards. Because if it's a repeat of earlier this week against Purdue, it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a long night for Iowa if they get beat on the glass the way that they did. But I thought, this is my question. I don't understand what was it about Purdue that gave them so much trouble on the boards, because they've gone against some really, really physical teams this year. Maryland comes to mind. Illinois comes to mind. Some other teams in the Big Ten, even Minnesota with Daniel Oturu, but Purdue really, really exposed them in that category.
Yeah, and it seemed it was an energy thing.
In the first half, it was. Of both games.
They were getting to the glass quicker, and Boudreaux was really a factor. I don't know, for whatever reason, it didn't seem like Iowa was matching up with him, and he was just getting to the glass with ease.
Wait, who'd you say it was?
Boudreaux.
Yeah. Mike from Marengo has answered my question. What was the biggest issue? The answer, the bald Canadian.
Who has a vendetta against Iowa for not offering him a scholarship. I remember covering his recruitment. He visited here a bunch of times. He felt like Iowa strung him along. And then he eventually ended up at Dartmouth, where his brother went. Graduated from Dartmouth in 3 years, if that gives you an indication of how smart the kid is. And then graduate transfer to Purdue for 2 seasons. He redshirted
the old vendetta.
Yes. And he plays like he's got one.
So, you know what?
He's like,
I feel dumb for even asking that question. Well, what was the difference between Purdue and everybody else in the Big Ten? It's obviously the bald Canadian guy. 319-9406 says the 35-year-old bald Canadian guy. 15-53, if Iowa loses at Illinois, will that blow Garza's chances at Big Ten Player of the Year and National Player of the Year?
Big Ten, I think he's locked.
No, not Big Ten.
No, Big Ten, I
National,
think.
National, maybe. Yeah. Because.
Well, you've got a candidate in Obi Toppin who's on.
A top five team.
Yeah. I mean, what are they ranked now? Are they second?
Two or three?
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy that's that productive. Then you're going to have people say, but he's playing in a league that's not as good as.
They're number three.
Yeah.
Yeah, but. Have you seen him play?
No, I agree.
No, I'm not. It's a rhetorical question. Yeah, Holy smokes.
The argument for or against him would be the competition, but I think he'd be fine in the Big Ten.
It's a weird year for this award because usually you'll have one of these candidates that puts up ridiculous stats at a school that's not usually a national power. Right. Did Carson Edwards win last year?
Big Ten Player of the Year?
Did he win National Player of the Year last year? He was unbelievable. The statistics were there, but
and I think those awards are given.
Oh no, and I'm sorry, Zion Williamson.
They're before the those awards or does the voting on those happens before the NCAA tournament,
yes,
right?
Because
Carson Edwards was a nut. I mean, he was crazy in the. I mean, he carried.
He
Purdue
almost
to
carried
the
him to a
eight.
National championship.
Yeah, no.
The team that they lost to, they should have beaten, was the eventual national champion.
Yeah.
Do you remember how they lost to Virginia? Just complete luck on the side of the Virginia Cavaliers. But usually you have a candidate who's on maybe not a traditional power or not a top 10 team, but then you have that guy on one of the top five team that just blows everybody away. Zion Williamson was obviously going to be the National Player of the Year
last
year.
And he missed games after that. After he blew his shoe.
After the shoe incident, the infamous shoe incident. But now you don't have that. And you have one of the weird predicament where you have a guy on a top 25 team in Luka Garza who has by far the best statistics, and he's doing it against some of the best competition in the country as far as big men go. But then you have the more explosive, flashy
NBA prospect
on a top five team. Who wins out? That's my question. And if Iowa falls out of the top 25, I think we kind of know the answer to that, right?
Yeah, and you look at what Garza's done from... It's interesting, too, Alex, where are the votes going to come from? You know, the guys that are in our region are going to vote for Garza. The Big Ten writers are obviously going to vote for Garza. But what happens out on the West Coast where you have a guy like Peyton Pritchard for Oregon... Who has a case? I mean, he's having a great year. And you've got Obi Toppin. You've got, you know, Vernon Carey's going to get some love. I don't think that he deserves it, but he's going to get some run.
See, here's
Miles Powell. And for the East, you've got a guy
Miles
like
Powell, yeah.
So I think it's going to be interesting because I think the votes are going to be split more by areas of the country and where.
But does that favor Garza? Does that favor Luka Garza?
We'll see.
It could.
Yeah.
Because what you just said right there is...
How about Azubuike or the point...
Devon Dotson.
Dotson, yeah. I mean, but do those guys split the votes?
And that's what I'm saying.
The Kansas guys offset each other.
Who's the guy that's going to be garnering votes from all over the country? Nobody. There isn't one. Maybe Luka Garza?
I think what works in his favor is you got guys like Dick Vitale pimping his candidacy, so to speak.
So this goes back to Christian McCaffrey the day of the Heisman ceremony. A Heisman voter came up to him, to his face, and said, "Hey, I've never seen you play."
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm looking at this right now, and I'm just wondering...
I wonder if that guy still has a vote.
I hope not. But I'm wondering who's going to be. Do people on the West Coast, do they know who Luka Garza is? Do they know? Have they seen Obi Toppin play? Have they seen Miles Powell play? Have you seen Miles Powell or Obi Toppin or Peyton Pritchard play?
Right. Yeah, you think about when Oregon plays and guys in like. Philadelphia voters in like Philadelphia or New York City
are asleep.
They don't have the Pac-12 network.
Oh, and they don't have the Pac-12 network. That too.
You know what I mean? So it's really going to be interesting. I think this vote's going to be close and it's going to be spread out because you've got more candidates this year and a lot of it's regionalized.
But if there's that doubt, are people going to fall back on who has the best statistics? in the best conference.
Well,
I think it's very possible.
Luka Garza's, I mean, you look at his scoring average in the league is the best since Glenn Robinson in 1994. So you have concrete evidence of how historically good his season is. And then if you look at Big Ten centers, it's been like 50 years since somebody averaged what he's averaging. And I credit Iowa. They are pushing pretty hard.
I think that his name is out there nationally. And I say that because I've done quite a bit of traveling recently. And now I will say that...
You're washing your hands a lot?
Yes.
You travel?
Yeah. I don't wear the mask, though, so...
That doesn't help.
It doesn't help. I do wash my hands plenty.
I mean, shake people's hands?
I do that as well.
But shake people's hands?
But I wash my hands right after. I carry around a little Purell... Just make sure. People in Memphis asking me, that Luka Garza guy is pretty good. People in Chicago, wow, that Luka Garza guy is pretty good. St. Louis, that Luka Garza guy is pretty good.
That's our region, though.
I get that.
Memphis is a little out of the region.
True. I get that.
How about in North Carolina or Florida or New Jersey? How big is Luka Garza? How much run is he getting? And that's probably where it helps having Rutgers and Penn State in the league.
True.
Because he gets a little bit of exposure, at least on the East Coast.
Exactly. But then I kind of counter that with, all right, who's getting the exposure instead of him?
Miles Powell?
Miles Powell on the East Coast, yeah. So this vote, that's why I'm saying, like, this vote is just going to be...
And then Obi Toppin, I think, is a guy who's getting pushed...
As a top five NBA draft pick.
Yeah.
This is going to be really weird because I don't know who's going to win it.
I would vote for Garza, and I know people are going to say, it's Big Ten guy, Big Ten journalist guy, Big Ten, you know. But when I just think about what he's done, what I said earlier about his scoring average compared to what guys have averaged in the Big Ten in the last however many years that is since 1994, I'm bad at math. You know, I think you put his... 15 games in a row, Alex, with 20 points?
It's ridiculous.
And you know,
I keep asking this. Nobody wants to broach the subject, but where would this team be without Luka Garza? We're talking about most valuable player in the NBA, right?
Right.
Is it Giannis or is it LeBron? Who's the most important player of all time
Nobody
to their team?
Nobody on the Knicks?
No, Julius Randle. how's Julius Randle doing with the Knicks?
I'm still salty.
No comment?
I'm still salty about last year's draft lottery. You got Ja Morant and Zion Williamson, and the Knicks get the third pick.
RJ Barrett, yeah. But if you're just going to go most valuable player, LeBron's going to win it every year. I don't care what the statistics say. I don't. He's the most valuable player in the history of the sport. Look at the teams before he's there. Look at them afterwards.
And that was Alex for all the Michael Jordan fans out there.
And it's not even a discussion. It really isn't. But in college basketball, I'm looking at Luka Garza in that same light. This team's a top 20 team. This team's in the NCAA tournament picture easily.
And
they're
he's the reason.
And I mean, he's the reason.
We sat here before the season and kind of gave our predictions of what we thought Iowa was going to be. And we thought, at best, case scenario, a bubble team.
There were people saying 13 wins, and I was like, I can't.
They were saying that after the DePaul game.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. After the DePaul game, same thing. I can't argue with that. And he's putting up numbers that are just so much better than anybody we've seen, really, in my lifetime. In the Iowa basketball program.
15 games in a row of 20 points against guys like Daniel Oturu, Caleb Wesson, Teske.
Xavier Tillman.
I mean, 15 games in a row in the Big Ten of 20 or more points.
I just don't think it's that hard of a decision to make. I think Obi Toppin is great, but Luke Garza
cool
is the National Player of the Year.
Be cool if they got to go up against each other in the NCAA tournament. I think that'd be cool.
That would be fun. Well, hopefully it happens. 319-366-1600. What we need to do right now, I'm going to get you a big board update. We'll continue on the Big Hour brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement in just a couple of minutes. The UNI Panthers swept the regular season series against Drake, including a dominant victory just last weekend over the Bulldogs. But for Drake, the third time was the charm, and they dismantled UNI today in St. Louis, 77-56. They become the first 8 seed in the MVC tournament history to advance to the semis by knocking off the number 1 seed. The Panthers tournament, the Panthers were the tournament's number 1 seed and will likely be heading to the NIT, although Joe Lunardi says at the moment they're on the bubble and they're the last team into the field as of right now. With Illinois' loss to Ohio State, the Iowa basketball team is still alive for a top 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament. All they'll need to do is go to Champaign on Sunday and beat the Illini. The contest will get underway on Sunday at 6 p.m. And today, Luca Garza, as we've been discussing his name for the past 20 minutes, was named a finalist for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar Award, given annually to the nation's top center. And I'm going to go out on a limb and guess he may win the award. The Iowa basketball team is back in action today in Port Charlotte, Florida. They were battling Western Michigan. Jack Dreyer made the start in a game that got underway at 2 p.m., and the Hawkeyes dominated. They moved to 7-4 with a 10-0 victory over the Broncos. Iowa will play Georgetown tomorrow afternoon. The Cedar Rapids Rough Riders are on the road in Youngstown, Ohio, set to take on the Youngstown Phantoms the next two nights. Both games are scheduled for 6:05. PM. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Steve in Blairstown. I've set off
this is the Michael Jordan storm.
Steve in Blairstown. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Alex, I got a question for you.
Okay.
And this, I hate to break up the conversation about the player of the year, but you made the comment about LeBron James, you know, how good he was. You can't argue that without a doubt.
Okay.
But you said he goes there and the team instantly gets better, which is true. But when he left Cleveland and went to Miami, who did they go with him? Dwayne Wade, undoubtedly a Hall of Fame player. Chris Bosh, he goes back to Cleveland to get Kevin Love and to get Kyrie Irving. He goes to L.A., and I can't – the kid's name from the Pelicans just slips my mind. You know, I mean, he's not the only guy that's joining them teams. I mean, he's not like he's carrying that load by himself.
No, I agree with you, Steve. Just the only point that I was making is look at the teams that he's left and what happened the year after he left. That was basically what I was getting at as far as irreplaceable was concerned.
Yeah. Oh, and I understand that.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, Steve. 319-366-1600. No, basketball is not a one-person sport. And I look at Iowa this year, and Rob, we've made this point. The supporting cast around him fits Luka Garza perfectly when Joe Wieskamp is on, when C.J. Frederick's on the floor.
Well, look at Purdue, Alex. He had 26-12, and they lost.
Yeah.
Because the other guys
right.
had off nights.
However, when you have a player of that caliber, it makes things a lot easier, and you're seemingly in every game or more games than not. And when all is said and done, you talk about making that type of difference. I think Luka Garza does. And that's the understatement of the year. What we need to do right now, we will take a break. We'll come back. And without further ado, we're going to give you our all Big Ten honorees after this. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show in the Big Hour, brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, on the way after this.
The term yoga in general kind of emulates community. I had the business plan in my head for years, but never really knew if I was going to be able to kind of take that leap. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I knew that the passion was going to make it not seem like work. Zupacca was really there for me, helping me kind of gain financial literacy. So that way, the day that I did actually walk in the door, I had a really good credit score. Anything along the way that I did, I wanted to make sure that I was being smart about it and I was doing it the best way possible. Everything from the business loan to setting up the LLC and then the insurance of the business as well too. Zupacco really was a great guide and a resource for me getting this whole entire project off the ground. We've built an amazing community here within Soul Revolution, and honestly, we could not have done that without the help and support of Zupacco. There's been a couple of classes when I'll walk in, and especially when it's a busy room and I start to get choked up. Those are the days when it's like, this is what I was supposed to do.
Your money for good. Learn more at tobacco.com. Equal housing opportunity. You see them all around town. Cintas trucks and their service reps taking care of customers. When companies use Cintas, you know they're confident and ready. Cintas helps with their fire protection and first aid and safety programs, handles their apparel solutions, and helps keep their facility and restrooms clean and stocked. So you know those companies care about their employees, facilities, and image. When all those things work together, they're ready for business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. And now, it comes in two great tropical flavors, strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/30/120. Terms apply. See 5hewin.com for details.
Hey guys, it's time to get ready for outside living again at Vernon Village True Value.
Yeah, Jim, they're the only area distributor for the new Weber 24-inch wood pellet smoker, so you can smoke, grill, or sear right in the backyard. Just $999.
Right, Hal. And Scott's four-step lawn program is just $64.99 with rebate and covers 5,000 square feet.
Hey, want their ad delivered to your phone?
Yeah!
Just text Vernon Village, all one word, to 71441.
Vernon Village True Value, 3501 Mount Vernon Road, Southeast, Cedar Rapids.
Car category names like sports car or subcompact sound so one-dimensional, and great cars just aren't, like the Honda Civic. So I named a new category, SPAFLU. That's SP for sporty, thanks to an available turbocharged engine. The AFE is for standard safety and driver-assistive features, like Honda Sensing. And the LU is for value. Test drive the Honda Civic today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
Don't miss the madness. March is the season of madness, and IMON's high-speed internet will make sure you can track your bracket, stream every game, and stay connected with your friends and family. For a limited time, you can get IMON's 100 megabit internet for only $55 per month. You'll be mad for IMON's reliable high-speed internet and superior 24/7 customer support. Sign up before March 31st to score this deal. Go to imon.net/radio to switch to IMON for only $55 per month, and find out how you can also score a free month of internet service. New residential customers only. Other conditions apply.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
5:39, just about 20 minutes to play with here on a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Rob Howe of Hawkeye Nation joining us as he does on most Fridays, but he's been here for the entire 2 hours of the program. And if you've missed anything, whether it was Jeremy Werner of 24/7 Sports or our discussion with Anthony Clemens, now of AS Monaco in France, as his professional basketball career continues to progress, you can visit our website at kgymradio.com. We will have the podcast in its entirety up following the conclusion of the show, as Buttons will put it up. And I got to give a shout out to him. He's kept us moving along here on a beautiful Friday afternoon. So, Rob, we've discussed every scenario that Iowa could possibly go through should they win or lose on Saturday. We've discussed that if Iowa beats Illinois, they're in the number four spot, and they will get the double bye in the Big Ten tournament. So let's move on from that and get to something else that you proposed for me today. It's our Big Ten postseason awards. Where should we start?
Yes, this will come out, I believe, Monday, maybe Tuesday this week. The real ones. Not that they're any better than ours.
I don't think they're going to be that much different than
probably
ours.
Probably not. You want to just go with, let's start with, I think, player of the years. Let's get the ones, the obvious ones. Let's move past those.
Okay, let's go from obvious to least obvious, I guess.
So we'll finish with coach of the year.
Okay. player of the year is Cassius Winton.
Jalen Smith.
Jalen Smith. Okay, this one's easy.
Is he unanimous?
We can marvel at this. He's got to be unanimous. How can anybody sort of...
I don't know how you make a case for anybody else.
Be in that discussion. You can't. Luka Garza is going to be the Big Ten Player of the Year, win, lose, or draw the rest of the season. And that's that, really.
Yeah, there's no case for anybody else. Somebody out there want to make a case?
Can you make a case for Cassius Winston or really Daniel Arturo? Or no, you can't do it for Daniel Arturo.
Winston would be the guy.
Be the only one you could make. You could try to make a case for.
Right.
All right. Defensive player of the year. I'll let you start on this one.
I was considering Nojel Eastern after watching him against Iowa a couple times. I think he's a really good, he's the best perimeter defender in the league. But I went with Xavier Tillman from Michigan State, again, in large part, for what he did against Iowa, which was actually not stop Luka, but keep him from scoring 50.
Follow the scouting report and at least make life difficult on him.
Right.
So, I thought about a few guys here. I thought maybe, I think maybe there was that case for Xavier Simpson.
Yeah.
Just sort of the what do they call that? The
Lifetime Achievement?
Lifetime Achievement Award. Daryl Morcell is a really good defender for Maryland. Did a great job on Joe Wieskamp. But like you said, Xavier Tillman, the job in the second half that he was able to do to slow down Luka Garza and to force him into some mistakes, force him into some travels. I'm going with a big man for Michigan State. Give me Tillman. All right, I'll start on sixth man of the year because I think this one's pretty cut and dry right now. It's got to be Micah Potter from Wisconsin, does it not?
He's my guy, and I went through pretty much every roster, Alex, to make sure that I wasn't missing anybody. And I don't know what the stipulations are or what the parameters are for.
I'm glad. Yes.
I tried to find it and I couldn't, because Tillman won it last year. He started six games.
And you look at Illinois right now, and they've kind of gone back between a big right. lineup and a small lineup, and now they have Georgie Bishanasvili coming off the bench. And prior to that, there were games where coming off the bench, they'd have their third leading scorer, Andres Feliz, coming off the bench. He was their sixth man, but now he's in the starting lineup.
Wiggins from Maryland was a similar situation.
Exactly.
He started 16 games this year of the 30, and he's averaging almost 11 a game, but that's not a sixth man to me.
No. So I think it's Potter from Wisconsin.
I was considering Potter, Brevin Pritzel. Another guy that comes off the bench for Wisconsin, I think, is pretty good. Alan Griffin, who Jeremy mentioned as a guy who's starting to pick it up for Illinois, he's a guy that comes off the bench, is a really good three-point shooter, but I think Potter's just had that. Since he became eligible for Wisconsin, he's really made a huge difference on that team.
All right, give me your first team All Big Ten selections.
Let's see.
And we're just going five best, right?
That's what I went with. I don't know if it's positionally for when the actual voting happens, but I don't care. I make my own rules for this. Guy from Iowa, the big guy, 55 on Iowa. Garza would be.
Oh yeah, Luka Garza, that guy.
Winston, who we mentioned, Daniel Arturo for Minnesota. Jalen Smith for Maryland, and then I was torn for my – there were three guys I was considering. I put Lamar Stevens out first, which I know a lot of people have issue with. He was a first-teamer last year, and Penn State's been better this year. But I got down to Anthony Cowan from Maryland or Io DeSumo for Illinois. Those were my two for that fifth spot, and I went with Cowan.
This is where we embrace debate, Rob, first of all. Clearly – clearly, you made a mistake keeping Lamar Stevens out of your first team All Big Ten selections. And I'm going to put Io DeSumo in there ahead of Anthony Cowan. I'm not going Lifetime Achievement Award here. I think Anthony Cowan is a great player. Give me Io DeSumo the way that he takes over games and it just the whole swagger that he brings to that team. They're just a completely different team with him out there. This is a just brutal decision.
Go with your five again.
Winston.
Okay.
DeSumo, Lamar Stevens, Luka Garza, Daniel Oturu.
So you left Jalen Smith off.
I did.
You have nobody from Maryland.
I have those guys on my second team.
Ooh. That's a Midwest bias against the East Coast team.
No, I'm just not going Lifetime Achievement Award for the senior point guard in the Big Ten. You have to give it to him.
But an illustration of how difficult this is Jalen Smith is one of 10 finalists for the Naismith Award for National Player of the Year.
Right.
But I don't have issue with you leaving him off the first team or Cowan because the guys you put on there are deserving. So
basically the internet is going to be ablaze with Big Ten fans and anger about snubs. Does this come out on Monday?
Monday or Tuesday?
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, Twitter will be great.
Yes, Jalen Smith averaging 15 and 10 this season. I have off the first team.
Oturo's numbers are sick.
Exactly.
I didn't realize how good they were until I looked it up today. I knew he was doing well, but he's really doing well.
And that's there's the debate once again. The best team in the league with their one of their best players, or a guy on a team that's 7-12 who's putting up ridiculous numbers.
And then going full circle, Garza Player of the Year, he's outplayed Oturo twice this
yes.
year. One of the, you know, and I would say probably outplayed Jalen Smith, I would say, overall. Jalen Smith had a good game down there, but Luka was still better.
So we're going to Coach of the Year now?
Did we finish our second? We didn't put our second teams out there. Did you do a second team?
Well, by process of elimination, I guess I kind of did, but you go ahead.
I have DeSumo on my second and Lamar Stevens. Those were my first two guys. Xavier Simpson, Xavier Tillman, and Caleb Wesson.
So I guess by...
That's a pretty good second team.
By elimination, Jalen Smith's going on...
You have Smith and Cowan on your second team.
Smith and Cowan on my second team. Xavier Simpson also on my second team. And I'm just doing this completely on the fly.
Look, may I recommend Xavier Tillman
and
Caleb Wesson?
And Caleb Wesson, yeah. That's an easy one. All right, Coach of the Year.
We do Freshman of the Year?
No, we didn't. Go ahead. I mean, it's Kofi Coburn,
right.
Is it not?
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you can even make a case for other than Kofi Coburn?
Maybe Jackson Davis. He's been Indiana's best player, but
yeah.
They haven't been great. Franz Wagner, averaging about 12, 13. I don't think so.
Kofi Coburn
yeah,
is the Freshman Coburn. Of the Year.
I would agree. And let me hear your Coach of the Year. I'll let you go first. Because you haven't made – well, I'll go first because you said – You're picking right now, aren't you? I'm watching. I'm looking at you, look at the screen, and I'm going, he hasn't made up his mind yet. I'm going with Greg Gard for Wisconsin. Crazy. Talk about him being fired like a month ago.
Yes, and Cheddar on the text line has reminded me of that a couple of times.
But think about...
Big Wisconsin fan.
Look at his roster.
It's not great.
No.
I remember after that game where Iowa had to come back to beat him at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, I was like, that is one of the lesser Wisconsin rosters that we've seen in like the last decade. I just didn't see a lot of firepower there, and then they lose Kobe King.
Yeah.
On top of that, they're one of the biggest overachievers in college basketball this year.
Let me give you some of their wins, Alex, to make my case for Greg Gard.
Okay.
They finish at Indiana Sunday. They can win that game. I don't think they will, but they can. They won at Michigan. They lost at Minnesota. That's a bad loss. But they won at Penn State. They won at Ohio State. They won at Tennessee. Granted, not a great Tennessee team. That's my list right there. The rest of their wins were at home. But they beat Maryland at home. They beat Michigan State at home.
So I've heard cases. Who are this? Let's go through the coaches that are kind of on this list. We have Greg Gard. We have Brad Underwood.
I'd be with that.
Pat Chambers.
Yep.
Is in the discussion. Fran McCaffrey's in the discussion.
Yep.
And Steve Peichel's in the discussion, right?
Yeah.
Those are the options.
Yeah. I don't think you'd put Turgeon or Izzo in there.
No. I think you just go with the fact that we expected those teams to be good. Let me homer this up.
I think I got to eliminate Pikel.
I'm eliminating Pikel. You know why I'm eliminating Pikel? Because in the office, I have written down that prior to the season that Rutgers was going to be an upper division team. Now, they're probably not going to be when all is said and done, but they're 19-12. I expected this from this team. They had been moving in this direction for the last 3 years. And Steve Pikel over this, if you give coach of the last 3 years, maybe we have this discussion. But we're talking about this year and this year only. And I go back to preseason, and I'm going to eat crow right now. I said this was going to be a below 500 Iowa team. Below 500.
You weren't alone in that prediction.
No. They lose Tyler Cook and Isaiah Moss before off the top. And Nicholas Bear, their best player, coming off the bench. You knew that Jordan Bohannon was going to play 10 games, not look like himself, and he was going to be done. Jack Nungy tears his ACL. Patrick McCaffrey, unable to play. CJ Frederick, throughout most of the season, has been hobbled by an injury. Not most of the season, but at times this season, they've had to play six or seven games without CJ Frederick in the lineup. And we're talking about them being a sixth seed or better in the NCAA tournament. I'm going with Fran McCaffrey. I've been critical of him in the past, but all these programs, maybe Pat Chambers and Penn State,
I think you can make a case for Chambers and Underwood just because of what they've done with their program to bring it to places where they haven't been in a while.
But I knew Io DeSumo was good.
Yeah.
And you knew that they had some good players coming in. They were young last year. Mm-hmm. They showed some flash. And I thought they'd be – people predicted them getting in the NCAA tournament before the season.
Yeah.
So this Iowa season has completely come out of nowhere, completely out of left field, more than any other year for any coach in the Big Ten. So I'm giving it to Fran McCaffrey. 319-366-1600.
Who do you think wins it? I can't. I don't know.
You think Brad Underwood wins it?
I would say Underwood or Chambers for the reasons we talked about. Yeah.
I think it's going to be one of those two. But we are desperately overdue for a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap today's show up, and then we'll get you ready for your weekend. You're listening to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, they're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Strength. Precision. This trophy is not given. It must be earned. The 2020 NCAA Division III Wrestling Championships. March 13th and 14th at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Visit ncaa.com/tickets to get your tickets today.
The Big Hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement, continues on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids on all four KGYM frequencies. Alex Kuhn alongside Rob Hal Buttons is in the studio with us. And Rob, thank you so much for filling in the past couple of days with Todd Under the Weather.
It's always fun. I enjoy doing the show with you. We have a seamless transition.
It's always good to... I was a little nervous on Thursday. You're like, I got to check. I got to make sure. I was like, oh, no.
Wife
oh,
gave
no.
me clearance.
But it was going to be the Buttons wrestling hour, if not. But the Big Ten wrestling tournament coming up this weekend in Piscataway, right?
All of Iowa's wrestlers are top three seeds.
At the rack in Piscataway? I know they're having trouble getting the mats down. It's not a big area to be hosting this thing.
Got to be a tough ticket. What's that place hold, about 9?
So it holds 8 for basketball.
Okay.
So like 6,500 for wrestling?
Yeah.
7,000 maybe?
And wrestling's huge in New Jersey. People probably don't realize that, but it is really big in New Jersey.
And Mark Ironside, who joined the gym class, pointed out that it's weird that Rutgers got the tournament before Nebraska did.
East Coast bias.
The East Coast bias. We appreciate all of you who interacted with us on the First Federal Credit Union text line all week. We'll be back on Monday as John Walters will join us, as well as Mac McCausland. We're going to know where Iowa is seated in the Big Ten tournament, where Iowa State's seated in the Big 12 tournament. Look forward to Iowa women's basketball tonight as they're going to take on Ohio State. We'll know the result of the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. Next week, the real fun begins as 37-65 is pointing out that what's wrong with the Buttons Wrestling Hour? I would love that. We'll maybe incorporate it next time. I was thinking about it, but we're coming up on nationals, right, Buttons? Yep, we are. So
an hour seems a little bit much.
An hour, like maybe like a 10 minutes or so. But we appreciate Buttons for helping us out. Have a great weekend, all of you out there, and we'll talk to you on Monday.
The great thing about facts? Nobody thinks twice about getting a second opinion on a doctor or a lawyer. But what about when you need somebody to work on your home, like an electrician, landscaper, or plumber? Somebody doing major work on your pipes definitely calls for a second opinion.